Good morning, I'm Duncan Strauss.
Really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals. Today in particular, it's WMNF's 32nd birthday. So happy birthday to them, to us, to whoever. And as part of our celebration, I guess, of sorts, we'll be talking with our guest, vegan black metal chef, about his instructional cooking videos, which have made him a YouTube sensation, and all kinds of issues surrounding the black metal, teaching him how to make vegan dishes that's less hail Satan and more hail Satan, as one of his videos was titled. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is might be Giants with Cowtown. Talking animal.
There's an ant crawling up your back in the nighttime, but you think that's okay while you're sleeping. That ant crawled in your head in the nighttime. That ant crawled in your head in the nighttime, but you think that's okay while you're sleeping. Someday that if he will grow up to be president, someday that if he will grow up to be president, but you think that's okay.
They Might Be Giants with Cowtown, an animal song of sorts to ease us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, vegan black metal chef, the YouTube culinary sensation, who offers instructional cooking videos specializing in vegan dishes, delivering the lessons over a soundtrack of black metal and wearing body armor and full makeup. First video he posted on YouTube on how to make pitai noodles quickly racked up 1 million hits not long after the Washington Post profiled him. There's talk of his landing a TV cooking show, and the vegan black metal chef phenomenon grows daily thanks in no small measure to the great humor laced throughout everything he does. We'll discuss all this and more when we speak with vegan black metal chef in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments. You got cooking questions or comments for vegan black metal chef? By all means, call him in, email him in, 813-239-9663, or again, at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the comedy corner, which involves animal comedy. Yeah, something sort of relevant for today's show selected. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of Thunderdog, the book by our recent guest Michael Hingson, in a distinctive way to remember 9/11. And also with our fun drive looming next month, about a month from today, we'll be offering a pair of tickets today to see TV on the Radio at Janus Live on October 22nd for a pledge of $80. And got plans that night, or just for some reason not a TV on the Radio fan, here's another cool thing you can do to help Talking Animals and WMNF. You can just go to our tip jar. Just go to WMNF.org, find the schedule, find Wednesday, of course, 11 a.m. That's when Talking Animals is. Click on that. That'll take you to the Talking Animals little page. And up in the right-hand corner, you'll see the tip jar. And you can just put in, you know, $50 if you can swing it, $25, $100, somewhere in there. And all that helps us and gives us a running start for when the fun drive happens next month. So it would be greatly appreciated. Right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment. A look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item involves an elephant center coming up here in Florida. Dateline Fellsmere. Animal rights groups Friday called for a public hearing on the National Elephant Center's breeding and retirement ranch proposed for 225 acres south of the C-54 canal. In a statement Friday, the Humane Society of Vero Beach and Indian River County referred to the center going before the St. Lucie County Commission last year when they were looking at a 326-acre area on the Okeechobee County border. St. Lucie approved the project but added conditions that sent center officials looking elsewhere. Quote, while the residents, government officials, humane and environmental groups of St. Lucie County were afforded a public forum when the keeping of elephants was proposed for their community, the residents of Indian River County have had no opportunity for open discourse or to explore the issues brought up in St. Lucie County, the Humane Society statement said. City Community Development Director Mark Mathis said that he reviewed and approved the National Elephant Center's proposed site plan Friday, one day after project consultant David Tom submitted it. And the St. John's River Water Management District staff issued a surface water permit August 30 for the project after a two-month review. Rick Barangi, chairman of the National Elephant Center and director of the Houston Zoo, said the center is intended to provide space for retired zoo elephants, training for solitary males, and breeding for babies bound for zoos. We'll be keeping a close eye on that one. Now, much more close to home, and we've talked about this many times over the last, well, many months on Talking Animals. This is the issue of the anti-tethering ordinance in Hillsborough County, and it's been in the hands of the Animal Advisory Board, and this has been a long, long battle, more than a year, spearheaded by this amazing woman, Barbara Lopresti. And so it's now being reviewed. The current version of the ordinance is now being reviewed by the commissioners for a final vote. So if you care about dogs being tethered, tied up, chained for long, long stretches of time under obviously not great weather conditions or other conditions with other animals or, bugs, critters, thunderstorms, all kinds of awful things, or just being chained for just long, long periods of time, this is your chance now to speak up. There's a public opportunity for public comment next Wednesday, a week from today, but at 9 a.m. this in the morning. And anyone who cares about, again, dogs and those situations, they're seeking those folks, members or leaders of rescue groups and others. And, again, anybody that turns up was going to help push this thing through. So if you have any questions, you can email us at talkinganimals@wmnf.org. We'll give you more information. The that meeting next Wednesday morning, again, the 21st at 9 a.m., is at the County Center Building, 601 East Kennedy Boulevard on the second floor. So, again, any questions about this, please write us here at talkinganimals@wmnf.org or just dj@wmnf.org, and we will get you the information you need. So hopefully you can turn up and speak on those dogs' behalf. Now, we always like it on Talking Animals when young animal, budding animal welfare types do stuff. So that's the impetus behind this announcement. Olivia's Art for Animals is auctioning four paintings to benefit the towns of Ashland, Windham, and Prattsville, as well as Friends of the Furry and Feathered Wildlife Rehabilitation. These small upstate New York towns are slowly rebuilding after devastating floods from Tropical Storm Irene. And Olivia, that's the girl in question, I think she's in elementary school, wanted to help. Since physically helping is not safe, she thought donating all proceeds from selling her paintings might help. She also chose Friends of the Furry and Feathered Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Hunter, New York, because they have been imperative in helping not only local wildlife, but local displaced pets as well. So this is running. This is kind of an online auction. You can go to Facebook, search We Will Rebuild Art Auction, and that goes through September 27th. So go, Olivia. And also coming up, we've mentioned in the past, but I want to make sure you have this marked on your calendar, that on October 2nd, Sunday, October 2nd, there'll be the Greyhound Support Transport Fall Picnic, and that's going to be at Eagle Lake Park, 1800 Keene Road, Shelter 2 in Largo from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. For you and your four-legged friends, there'll be barbecue, silent auction, raffle, and a few other cool surprises. They are looking for an RSVP if possible by September 25th, if you think you can go. The funds raised from this will benefit Greyhound Support Transport and moving retired greyhounds to non-racing states. So easiest way to RSVP if you think you'd like to come out and show your support is greyhoundsupporttransport@gmail.com. That's greyhoundsupporttransport@gmail.com for the fall picnic, Sunday, October 2nd. And lastly, coming up for now, we'll come back to stuff later if we have time. Of course, the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest is closing in on us. It's getting, we still got time, and we got time to mark your calendar for that. But that's going to be October 15th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Cotenshobee Fort Brook Park in downtown Tampa. And it's in honor of World Farm Animals Day. That park is located, if you're not familiar with it, behind the St. Pete Times Forum on the Hillsborough River. And admission is, again, we're not able to say on the air, but it's hard to imagine that admission could be more reasonable than this admission. So there's exhibits and there's companion animals, of course, and leashes are welcome, and there'll be speakers, including Carol Leifer, which is, she's just fantastic. That's going to be great. Author of When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorist Win, but a great comedian and comedy writer and a great animal friend now and supporter and vegan and all kinds of cool stuff. So there'll be great food and speakers beyond Carol and live music and entertainment and more things that I could possibly mention in the allotted time, but there is a great website, TampaBayVegFest.org, to find out more about that, all coming up on October 15th. Okay, let's... Alright, now I'm throwing my other stuff aside that I need, so it's all going well though. But anyway, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mike Kaplan with a piece somewhat relevant to our chat with, coming up with Vegan Black Metal Chef. It's called Ducks and Vegetarianism on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I was in a Chinese restaurant recently, and I was thinking about how a small duck is called a duckling. And I canceled my order of dumplings. Because I am a vegetarian, so... Do we have any other vegetarians here? That is a little better than I got at the steakhouse. Great. I did comedy in a steakhouse. Honestly, I was like, hey, are there any vegetarians here? Finally, one guy in the back was like, this is a steakhouse! So I moved on. I was like, okay, any Jews here? This is a steakhouse! We eat Jews here! So I left. Like, people hear that, they assume I'm always into other kinds of activism. Like, oh, you're a vegetarian, do you care about the environment? No. I eat the environment, that's what we do. It's made of vegetables. But I do eat some weird things, like pickle sandwiches, like a nice dill pickle on sourdough bread, or a sour pickle on dildo bread. And that's just a word one, everybody. Good work. Good work. I think words are important. They're really all that separate us from the mimes, you know? So... Here's another word, pescatarian. You know that one? That means my mom, she says she's a vegetarian, but she's really a pescatarian, which means she eats fish in addition to lying about being a vegetarian. That's what she does. She actually says, she's like, I'll become a vegetarian when fish becomes a vegetable, which is sadly not the way evolution is heading, so... Unless people are getting
okay.
Dumber.
That was Mike Kaplan with a piece called Ducks and Vegetarianism, taken from his album Vegan Mind Meld. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time now to speak with today's guest, vegan black metal chef. As I touched on earlier, he is the YouTube culinary sensation who offers instructional cooking videos, especially in vegan dishes, delivering the lessons over a soundtrack of black metal and wearing body armor and full makeup. The first video he posted on YouTube on how to make pitaya noodles quickly racked up 1 million hits. Thanks in no small measure to the great humor laced through everything he does, the vegan black metal chef phenomenon grows daily. As one measure of that, mere weeks after he posted that debut video, the Washington Post profiled him. As another measure of the phenomenon, a few days ago on his Facebook page, there was a question from a mom seeking pointers to help her pull a costume together for Halloween. Her 4-year-old son wants to dress up as, that's right, a vegan black metal chef. Vegan cooking lessons have never rocked so hard. Black metal has never tasted so good. With a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome vegan black metal chef to Talking Animals. Good morning, vegan black metal chef.
Good morning, 88.5 and NPR Nation.
Wow, if you're going to keep that up the whole time, I'm going to send over a throat doctor, but God bless you. If that's how you're going to do it, great. So,
We'll not keep that up the whole time. It gets really old really fast.
Yeah, that might knock you out of contention for a couple of days doing your other stuff. But anyway, so in a moment, of course, we'll explore the whole phenomenon that is a vegan black metal chef, but I gather just from kind of gearing up to speak with you today that you didn't kind of make a stab at making cooking videos before vegan black metal chef. Can you tell us at least a bit just about those earliest efforts?
Sure. I think you're referring to something in the Washington Post article. Is that correct?
Well, I thought I saw it a couple different places that you had done a little bit in that way, but it didn't obviously click or take off to the extent this has.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I think that was the biggest lesson, honestly, in the fact that everything we read in our newspapers is probably about 85% accurate, maybe 90% accurate.
Okay. So in other words, this is not true. There were not previous cooking videos, I take it then.
No. Actually, I got a great laugh out of the fact that, what was accurate though is that I did say to the reporter, and I believe another paper, the Huffington Post, also actually happened to when they kind of rewrote that article, they actually took that fact and kind of ran with it too, or that statement, I should say.
Okay.
And what in reality I said was that in the past I had thought about trying to make various cooking instructional things like either audio or video, but I found them boring and I never really went on with it.
Oh, okay. Well, see, this is the beauty, vegan black metal chef, of having us without the the step of a newspaper or print or even a recorded, edited interview. You're talking to us live, so we'll get all this directly from you and accurate to the last letter. So, in fact, with that in mind, maybe you could just sort of walk us through the process of conceiving Vegan Black Metal Chef and his approach to cooking videos, which obviously, you know, has taken off, and that much I think we can say accurately.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, you said that you wanted me to...
maybe you could just sort of walk us through how you sort of conceived the whole thing and how it sort of got launched initially.
Oh, sure. Well, it came about in kind of two ways. One way in that I wanted to answer the question, what do vegans eat? And because, of course, as a vegan, we get asked that all the time. And so you can't really answer that by saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, I eat broccoli and chickpeas and onions and tomatoes. And you have to explain things, of course, in terms of whole meal ideas. Kind of as an analogy view, if as a meat eater you're trying to explain to someone who has no concept of what a hamburger or a hot dog is, if you're trying to explain that to them and explain that that's what you eat, you have to go into kind of excruciating detail to really explain very little, and then in the end all they think that you eat is a hamburger or a hot dog or something of that nature. And so on the vegan side of it, if you say I eat something like chana masala, like an Indian chickpea curry, if they have no conception of what that is, you have to go into kind of excruciating detail and do a lot of things that you might have to explain along the way. And in the end, I just wanted to say watch the videos. And in another sense, this all got started because this is really just kind of my main passions in life. I make a lot of music and black metal music, of course, and some other types of music. And I cook a lot, so just kind of naturally came together.
Well, that's cool. I mean, of course, you know, as you noted a moment ago, I mean, a lot of vegans are asked, hey, you know, what do you eat? I mean, it's so sort of comically commonplace that it's pretty squarely in cliche territory. But still, in answering this question, most vegans don't necessarily feel compelled to launch an internet phenomenon by way of answering. But I know that also, as you said, that it hooks into some other of your passions. But seriously, along those lines, I mean, as you say, you're interested in black metal, and it ties into other things. So, I mean, did you see this at some point, though, as like, okay, here's the ultimate answer to what do you eat as a vegan, but also kind of as a cool kind of creative opportunity and career opportunity maybe on some level as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, of course, I thought it was a creative opportunity. I mean, I had explored around trying to think of other different ways to kind of teach vegan cooking, because it's something that I really enjoy and that I think I'm really good at. And I wanted to share that with the world, because not only do I think a vegan diet is not restrictive, I know that you could absolutely thrive on it and eat the best food you've ever had in your life. And there are just unending food choices and possibilities. And so, and yeah, of course, when I looked into other ways of trying to teach cooking, I realized, hey, wow, cooking shows are really boring. And trying to teach cooking is a really boring thing. And so I didn't want to bore myself. So I did what I thought was fun and what I would want to see ultimately.
And was there sort of a, like a light bulb moment where you thought, okay, I have these aspirations and I am a musician and I have a, you know, sort of a technical recording background and I gather just from the work that you've done, you have a video, you must have at least a video, maybe you just taught yourself the video editing thing. But still, was there just kind of, like I say, a light bulb moment where you thought, aha, if I put this together with this, and, you know, again, I do love to cook, and this is kind of helps get that out there. I mean, this, maybe I've got something really cool and unusual here. Or was it more kind of an evolution of, hey, maybe, you know, Tuesday I thought this, Wednesday or Thursday I kind of thought, I mean, was it sort of gradual, or how did you get ready to say, okay, vegan black metal chef has arrived and he's ready to post his first video?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess I'd actually had the idea, honestly, for a really long time. Although never, like most of us, we have ideas and we don't really do anything with them. And then one day, I guess it was sort of an aha moment. It was really just, it wasn't an aha moment of thinking up of the idea. It was more of a moment of decision. And, one day I've said, hey, you know what? I'm gonna do this. And I really want a dungeon like kitchen anyway, so let's go ahead and make that. And then it all kinda flowed from there. I don't think that there was exactly one day where everything came about, but it was a gradual process that I had the idea for a long time.
Cool. Well, let me just let folks know, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with vegan black metal chef whose cooking videos have made him an internet sensation. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask vegan black metal chef a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj at wmnf.com. veganblackmetalshop.org. And Vegan Black Metal Shop, I got to tell you that although so far we haven't really had any calls, I mean, there's really been an interesting little flow of email. And I'm going to read one because I'm not going to say the guy's name because I think it would – well, it might be embarrassing him. Maybe not. He says he's already turned off his radio. But one of the first emails that came in said – on the subject line, what a stupid guest idea. And then it said, for an animal show, what is this joker doing to benefit animal welfare issues besides not putting them in his mouth? Sorry, Duncan, but this is a waste of a valuable, limited opportunity to broadcast meaningful conversation that aids animals' rights. I'm disappointed and have turned off my radio. And so just in case anybody's interested, my response to him was, I hope you're kidding, but fear you're not. I'm disappointed that you'd be so short-sighted not to see that this is a smart, creative way to promote vegan cooking and eating, which does benefit animal welfare. So that
at least it got his attention. I mean, he had to even say that he was turning off his radio. He didn't just turn it off.
Well, yeah, I hope, you know, I hope he didn't turn it off. I hope if he sees my email, I mean, you know, he's probably already decided that, you know, this isn't for him, and that's, you know, that's fine, I suppose. But I mean, it's so backwards, that if he does see that, and if he by any chance turns it back on, you know, he might really see the value of this. Because one of the things, you know, that we look for on this show is various kinds of ways to send out and transmit various kinds of message, adopt, spay, neuter, the virtues of vegan eating and cooking. And so anyway, I just find that interesting. So here's another email, Vegan Black Metal Chef, and then we'll get back to some of these other questions that I had in mind for you and hopefully take some callers as well. Anyway, but this, I don't know, this is just what kind of, you know, response, I guess, your approach or my approach perhaps draws. So anyways, this says, the subject heading is dramatic cooking. For dramatic purposes, I was curious, .. Would Vegan Black Metal Chef consider pulling an Ozzy Osbourne-esque move? I was thinking it would be awesome if he cooked a hollow bat-shaped tofu creature and filled it with strawberry jam. Then he would bite the head off the tofu bat and it would ooze out a simulated bloody gooey mess like Ozzy's infamous stage incident. That would be cool. I mean, seriously, this is, you know, I anticipated certain things. So far I haven't anticipated either of the things that I've read to you out loud.
That's pretty awesome. That's definitely something to keep in mind for a stage show.
See? We're helping the Vegan Black Metal Chef. All right, let's okay. I have some other questions, but here let's get someone else just for the way these emails are gone. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good. How about you? Did you have a question or comment for Vegan Black Metal Chef?
Just a quick comment.
Sure.
I have no idea really what a Vegan Black Metal Chef is, but I'm going to look at the internet when I get home and pull up the videos. It sounds fun and interesting.
Okay.
And I do like to actually eat tasty little animals, but I don't eat dogs and cats or anything like that, of course. But as far as the caller who said this was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Or not the caller, but the guy.
Emailer. Yeah.
I knew Charlie the Plumber had a heart within him.
Okay. Well, this must be some day where I.
You from Tampa?
Yeah.
Have a great one.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, thanks for your call. So, you know, that does raise kind of a point amidst all the lunacy here. A Vegan Black Metal Chef, I mean, I sort of briefly alluded to it, but maybe, who better than you really to maybe just kind of, you know, in 25 or 30 words or whatever, kind of just summarize what Vegan Black Metal Chef videos are or do. I mean, obviously if anyone's by their computer, they can quickly find out either during the show or after the show, but if someone's driving around or listening at their home and they maybe don't have internet access or whatever, maybe you could just briefly kind of describe what the Vegan Black Metal Chef videos do.
Yeah, absolutely. And at least everyone at Tampa might even be able to appreciate this more because there actually is a bit of a black metal scene there. But
for sure.
Basically, it's a I get in armor and if you ever look up black metal music, you'll see various examples of things like that. And then I go ahead and show people how to do vegan cooking in my dungeon-like kitchen and throw in some comedy there. But there's no talking throughout the episode. The only thing that, let you know what's going on is that I make my own soundtrack to the episode, and then the singing of the songs are the recipes and what's going on in the video.
Right. So for example, the first one, your debut one, was all about how to make pad thai noodles, and then what was I'm blanking on the exact language. I don't want to get this wrong. What was the second one? Just the title with the redneck easy. What was sorry? What,
yeah. It was just easy meal ideas of the ages. And
I thought there was redneck somewhere in the title.
Yeah. Well, it was split up into three different meals that,
right.
That I make. I kind of flip back and forth between one more complex recipe,
yeah.
and then several ones that I didn't think that would need their own complete video to show you to make. But yeah, the first one starts off with the all-star redneck medley.
There we go.
Which
yeah.
is basically mashed potatoes and baked beans and corn.
Right.
And then it goes into sauteing Brussels sprouts and mushrooms and red pepper and truffle oil, and then had to kind of doctor up and make an awesome pasta sauce.
Cool. Well, so let's back up, because I think that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was video number two. But so let's just back up just for a moment and say, okay, so you've made video number one. And we should also mention that, to me, among the many cool things, you know, and I've referred a few times to the humor, you know, is first of all, because you are sort of delivering, like you say, you're not talking, you're sort of delivering the instructions in this kind of black metal, raspy bark, like how you first came on the phone today with us. And so one of the many cool things that I love about this is that there's subtitles, basically, throughout the videos that walk people through.
For those of you that don't speak metal.
Yeah, exactly. But also there's humor throughout too. And again, I probably should have had this in front of me rather than trying to possibly misquote, but I think it was in that first video where you say something like you're missing something, the heat of Satan. It's very fun, but the thing is it's serious. I mean, people can really learn to make great dishes from watching. Okay, so that first video gets posted, I believe it was in May or thereabouts. What about after? I mean, you know, did it sort of immediately sort of, you know, explode in terms of the response, or was it kind of a slow build towards that? I mean, how did that go? Because obviously not fairly quickly ended up with a million hits. So I didn't know if it just started right away or just sort of as people kind of, you know.
Yeah, no, honestly, that all happened really fast, within about a week or so. So it struck a nerve with a lot of people, and at least had a big initial what the fuck factor. And then after that, still remains popular, but at least it's kind of accepted now that there exists a vegan black metal chef on the internet. And so more people that are interested in either the music or the cooking or the humor or whatnot, are still tuning in.
Sure.
But the initial, like, what is this, is of course done.
Yeah. Well, so a couple things, Vegan Black Metal Chef. One is that, you know, on the good news, we won't probably have any inaccurate information presented, the way that, apparently the Washington Post piece did, and then the Huffington Post kind of redo that.
Their article was honestly largely accurate.
Right, but what I was going to say is we have to be really, really careful on the other hand, because we are doing live radio about language, and I think I quickly got to the dump button, but there was a word that you said there that could get us in a heap of trouble here. So
I'll watch.
Cool, I appreciate it. So, okay, so speaking of that, so really only just a mere few weeks after that first video was posted, the Washington Post did run that piece, which largely seemed cool were you surprised that, I just posted this thing, I didn't really know what happened, and now, you know, I got a million hits, and the Washington Post is contacting me.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a cool thing. I still get a lot of interviews from a lot of different places, and I'm glad that people are still are actually getting value from it.
Sure.
The initial shock value of it is great, of course, but the lasting value is the fact that you can actually learn how to cook great vegan meals. with these and enjoy it at the same time and listen to some great music.
For sure. So once that article, the Post article ran, did that just kind of increase the YouTube hits and just the other stuff exponentially? I mean, I imagine that had a pretty serious impact on the Vegan Black Metal Chef world.
It had an impact, but honestly, nothing sparks the impact of hits other than people just enjoying it and sharing it.
Right.
That's really the most significant thing you can get. Broadcasted on whatever show, wherever, and it'll definitely spark some hits, but
it all comes down.
The only thing that really matters is that if people enjoy it and share it with other people, that's what really gets things going.
For sure. All right. Well, let's get back to some other emails and calls. One emailer just says simply, what are your quote unquote go to spices for vegan cooking?
That's actually a great question.
It is a great question.
Well, of course, with vegan cooking, one of the great parts is that you typically eat foods from really all over the world. I think I speak for a lot of vegans that can kind of attest to that. I mean, of course, everyone eats foods from all over the world, but with vegan cooking especially, you have to look at a lot of places like especially Asian countries and India and whatnot. Go-to spices, I honestly have a pretty decent-sized collection of five or six different soup broth kind of things that I use in a lot of different dishes. On the Indian side, there's one of the things that in the last episode that you saw was one of the concepts of making really good Indian food is sometimes you can take the various pre-prepared Indian curry powders and whatnot and I hate to exactly mention really specific brands or other things. I mean, I use a lot of Osam stuff and a lot of Shan Indian stuff, but I try to keep things conceptual based for people that might not have one ingredient or another. If you take two various curry powder like things and you kind of mix them together and follow kind of a method that is presented in the last video.
Yeah.
That's definitely some of my go-to spices and things. And of course, garlic. I think there's garlic in almost everything that I eat. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely that.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's. Gosh, there's so many now emailers, and I've got at least a call or two here. Okay, and actually a follow up question that sort of relates, I guess, to the earlier video piece that we talked about. It says, "Can a Vegan Black Metal Chef recommend a moderately priced truffle oil related to your cool, you know, the Brussels sprouts thing that you prepared on that one video?"
Yeah. People always complain about the price of truffle oil and coconut oil and things. But what you really don't realize is that, let's say you get a small bottle of whatever brand of truffle oil, maybe it's around $11 to $15. But what you don't realize with that is I've had that same bottle for quite a long time and have made a whole lot of different dishes. It's actually really great in almost any kind of cabbage dish, not just Brussels sprouts. And it's great in many other things as well. But you're going to have that bottle for a really long time.
Yeah. So
in reality, pay the $11-$15 and know that it's cheap.
Right. Over the course of all the dishes that you'll make with it, it really doesn't add up to be that much. All right. Well, now we got all kinds of folks calling, and there's still a string of emails that I hope we have time for. But this person's been waiting for a while on the phone. Hi, you're on Talking Animals, and you're on with if you have a question for a Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Hi, is it me?
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, hi. I got my radio turned off. I was wondering what prompted you to either become an active vegan and really start doing the show and getting the information out there?
You said what caused me to do this?
What prompted you? You have a really bad connection. I'm just going to have you finish your question, and if you don't mind, I'm going to take you off the air because we're in a bad cell zone there, it sounds like. But basically, I think she was asking what prompted you to become vegan and then, you know, with that in mind, start doing the videos and the show and right, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, go ahead, sure, Vegan Black Metal Show.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I guess I've been vegan for about 11 years or so, and I guess in the really early days of it, well, I guess before I was vegan, I actually had a girlfriend that had went vegetarian, and I saw what she did, and I said, hey, you know what, I recognize that as ultimately the right thing to do, but I'm not ready for that yet. And so what I did was, I just recognized that fact and kind of went on with our lives, and it really didn't impact the relationship. But then one day, about a year or so later in college, I said, well, you know what? If I recognize that as the right thing to do, and I recognize, me not following that as kind of a fear in myself, I said, well, what am I so afraid of? I mean, she obviously didn't die. Nothing, okay. Nothing happened to her.
All right. We were wondering about that, so that's good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. and so I was like, well, what am I so afraid of? And so I just went ahead and faced that fear and went vegetarian. And then about a month or two later, I attended a animal rights group on the campus I was attending. I went to the University of Florida. And after that, I saw some videos and heard some people speak and said, well, I really don't want any part of that. And what I did realize, though, is that in the course of that, going vegan is not a struggle of renunciation. It's not a struggle of really cutting things away. It's really just bringing consciousness to your actions and to what you eat. And so as you bring more and more consciousness to it, and as you eat and you kind of think about where things came from and whether or not you want a part of that, you can make a choice. And so, you know, you're really ready when it's harder to eat the food than to not eat the food, because you just don't want to anymore.
For sure.
And so, and what prompted me to make the videos? Well,
we kind of covered that, I guess. Yeah, in a way.
Yeah. Well, initially I started off, honestly, not being able to cook very good at all, but I still like to eat really good food, so I had to kind of learn that, and then the videos are just sharing that.
Right. Well, Vegan Black Metal Chef, we're unfortunately kind of nearing the end of our time. We've got callers and emailers, and I have my own questions. And one of the things you just said that prompts reminds me when you said you know, you really weren't that good at cooking initially. Now, the formative years of Vegan Black Metal Chef, or certainly his alter ego, were spent in Tampa, so we do have kind of a local boy makes good. And I'm obviously speaking to you from Tampa now. So anything notable that comes to mind for you about Tampa, and especially, like, is that where you started maybe to develop an interest in food, at least, if not cooking? Or was that sort of long after you had left the Tampa area?
Well, Tampa, honestly, as more of a connection with the metal aspect than anything else. There was a huge death metal scene in Tampa.
Sure.
And there was, and currently still is, a bit of a black metal scene.
Yeah.
And of course you also have the brass mug there, kind of a legendary hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And so that has more of the connections to that.
Well, let me ask you this then. Sorry to interrupt. We're just running short on time, and I want to cram so much in. But let me ask you this then. I mean, who did teach you to cook, or did you sort of teach yourself?
It's largely self-taught, honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's I just kind of pick up tricks and things from everyone that I see. And,
sure.
I'm always learning and experimenting. I make a whole lot of bad food for the various good dishes that I make.
It's all percentages. And speaking of that, what is your favorite dish that you make?
Favorite dish. A lot of people ask me this, and I really don't have an exact favorite dish. I listen to my body, to what my body wants to eat.
Yeah.
And I really like anything that's made fantastically well, that 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 my body wants at that moment.
Okay, and then sort of maybe the natural follow-up to that would be, I mean, what's your favorite dish that someone else makes, either at a restaurant that you like or a friend of yours that makes dishes that you really like? Is there a particular favorite dish if you are not making yourself that meal? Is there something you really, really love the most?
Yeah, there's really nothing. I love all fantastic food. I mean, once you get up to the fantastic mark with really any type of food, then it's just whatever you're feeling like at that time. But
sure,
I mean, there's so many absolutely phenomenal food choices. I mean, I can start listing a bunch of foods that I like, but really, it all boils down to anything.
If it's good, if it's fantastic,
yeah,
you're in. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, cool. I'm going to run down some of these emails that have come in. And if we have time, we're really actually over time now, but there's still some phone callers who seem eager to speak with you. So one email says, your YouTubes are great, but your strong language may turn off some prissy viewers who do not want to expose their children or church members to colorful, albeit realistic language. Great inspiration nonetheless. And then I thought it was right behind
that. I'll just comment on that quickly. If everything was for everybody, then it'd be for nobody.
Yeah, absolutely. So. No, I couldn't agree. I'm just reading them out because I just think it's so interesting, kind of the range of emails and phone calls and stuff that our time together has elicited.
Sure.
And so there was that, and then there was another one that says, dear Mr. Spouse, please pay no attention to some of the crazies who might write in. Your show is great, totally unique, educationally back, and gives alternatives to slaughtering of animal life to sustain your own. Keep up the good work. So that's cool. And then another one said, Duncan, thanks for taking heat, so to speak, on trying something a little different. Vegans don't eat animals, and they don't use or consume animal products. Simple. Thanks. Jim. So yeah, so kind of a nice range there, and I'm gonna sort of gild a little, even though we're totally out of time, but let's just try to end on maybe one last phone call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Hi, this is Nicole. I just appreciate your creativity, and I was also wondering if you're involved with Food Not Bombs movement, and if anyone knows what the situation is in Orlando with the struggle over there.
I appreciate it, and no, I'm not currently involved with Food Not Bombs. I've seen them once or twice here in Orlando. I think they got arrested somewhat in somewhat of a little bit ago. I believe someone got they got arrested and it caused a stink because they're feeding homeless people in the park. But I'm not aware of the situation, and I'm not aware of their activities.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. And Vegan Black Metal Chef, yeah, we really sort of are over time, but I just want to let people know that the website is veganblackmetalchef.com. He also has a great Facebook page, just simply Vegan Black Metal Chef. There's a YouTube channel, not surprisingly, of course. And we're out of time, but I know we're going to have you on again, the Vegan Black Metal Chef, because I know there's projects in the work that we didn't get a chance to even touch on today. And when one or more of those is done, we'll have you back to talk about that. And maybe we'll even be lucky enough to get you in studio and do some kind of crazy video feed, and we'll see what kind of responses that generates on email and by phone calls. But I've had a real pleasure and a blast talking with you, and thanks again, Vegan Black Metal Chef.
Thank you, and check out the blog if you want to know more of the philosophy aspects.
Absolutely, and in fact, that's another thing that we didn't have time to get into today that for sure we will the next time, which is your whole the whole kind of spirituality that plays a role in your life and work. And I mean, we started to touch on that, but we just ran out of time. But so we have many, many things to talk about next time. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Okay, just it's Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, copy of Thunder Dog, the book by recent guest Michael Hinkson, the blind gentleman who was guided out of the North Tower on 9/11 by his guide dog, Roselle. Great, great book. He was a great guest a few weeks ago here on Talking Animals. So that's the prize. The first person who calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. All right. If someone does have a guess, we might take that off the air because, as I mentioned in the first part of the show, we're about a month away from our fall fun drive, the WNF fall fun drive. So we're really looking, or I'm really looking, frankly, at Talking Animals to get a jump on our fundraising for that. So actually, we got a phone full. I can't ignore this. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Yeah, it's Shoot a Little Bird, Bob Marley.
Okay, cool. What's your first name?
Catherine.
Catherine. All right, Catherine. We have a winner. Now, everybody on hold. It's just Catherine, and she's our winner. We're going to put you back on hold, Catherine, and get you set up to get that book. Thank you for listening.
Cool.
Okay, so anyways, as I was saying, our fun drive, fall fun drive is coming up about a month from today, and we're looking to get a jump on things. So we do have a pair of tickets to see TV on the Radio, a great, great band, especially live band, performing at Janus Live October 22nd. And for a pledge of $80. So if you'd like to help Talking Animals and WMNF get a running start at its fundraising goals, call 813-239-9663. For a pair of tickets to TV on the Radio for an $80 pledge. Also, if you want to just help regardless of to the TV radio on the radio concert, you can go to WMNF.org, go to the schedule for Wednesday, find the Talking Animals page, click on that, and find the tip jar in the upper right-hand corner. And if you could slip in $25, $50, $100, if you could slip in $200, I'd be eternally grateful, but I'd be grateful at the $25 level as well. We're just looking for money in the meantime to help the station and help Talking Animals make its goal when that rolls around about a month from today. So, otherwise, we have just kind of about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF. We'll be back next Wednesday, September 21st at 11 a.m., when our guest will be Lana Lair, founder and managing director of RabbitWise, a Washington, D.C.-based organization that seeks to promote greater awareness and education about domestic rabbits and enhance their welfare. The interview was scheduled next week, so it's to land just a few days before International Rabbit Day, which is September 25th. So that's next Wednesday, September 21st. I hope you'll join me then. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals shows. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals Broadcast Outreach Consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Happy birthday to WMNF. The station turns 32 today. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music airing next from noon to 3. And if you want to stick with the news, you can move over to Tom Hartman's show, just starting up on 88.5 HD3 online at WMNF.org/the source. We're going to be closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune of sorts. This is Booker T with his version of Get Behind the Mule by none other than Tom Waits, who has a new album coming out next month. First song is out. Sounds great. Looking forward to that. Maybe there's an animal song there. We don't know. Otherwise, we'll just enjoy it from afar. But anyways, so this is Booker T's version of Get Behind the Mule, taking us right up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great show right here on WNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails of various stripes. And we'll look for you next Wednesday here on WNF at 11 a.m. for another edition of Talking Animals. Thanks so much. Take care. All right. Booker T's version of Get Behind the Mule, Tom of the Tom Waits song. It is 88.5 FM. It's WMNF Tampa. We turned 32 today. Happy birthday to us. There's all kinds of cool music events going on, as you know, or as you should know, including Julie Dexter tonight at the Palladium and much more. Go to WMNF.org for more information. Stay tuned for Skyline and NPR News coming momentarily.